Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
I listened to last Sunday morning's service by Pastor Chappell about being rooted in Christ and so forth. And what a great theme. And he had asked me and other speakers that would speak here to follow that theme, and thus I am doing that this morning. So if you would, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. The book of Ephesians chapter 2, and as we're opening our Bible, you will stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also ye had your conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you again for the opportunity of being here at Lancaster Baptist Church. Thank you for the great music that we have been privileged to take a part in this morning. The wonderful hymns, the great choir special, the solo, the quartet, all of it has been so wonderfully and so glorifying to you. And that's what we're here for this morning. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And dear Lord, we pray that would be the mindset of each of us today. Now I pray you'll bless your word as I try to preach today. And Lord, whatever you do, we'll be careful to praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. October the 8th, 1949, I attended a youth meeting in Nortonville, Kentucky. And it was on that night that after the preaching of the Word of God, that I went forward and a man by the name of Gifford Beery took the Bible, God's Word, and showed me how I could know for sure that I was saved and going to heaven. And that night I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. About 3 weeks later, the Baptist church in town, Nortonville Baptist Church, was having a revival meeting, and many of my friends, and in fact, the friend that who had invited me to the youth meeting was a member of that church and invited me to the revival meeting. I went Monday night, and then again Tuesday night. On Tuesday night, I went forward and said to the pastor, Brother Ratliff, I would like to become a member of this church. And Brother Ratliff did a very wise thing. He said, okay, after the service, after we have the benediction tonight, I want to talk with you. And he took me in a little room there, not just off of the place where the altar was. And he went through again the plan of salvation because he wanted me to be sure, or he wanted to be sure that I was saved, okay? And by the way, that's a good thing to know. The church should be made up of born-again believers, amen? And so he wanted to be sure that I was saved. And he went through again the same thing, basically, that Brother Gifford Beery had done. And I assured him that I had done what the Bible told us to do, to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And then he said, okay, open your New Testament. And he gave me a New Testament that night. And he said, now open your New Testament. And he turned to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and underlined those verses in my Bible for me that he'd given me. And then he said to me, he said, now, Don, before you come to church tomorrow night, I want you to have memorized those two verses. And I did. Look at them. Read them with me. Many of you can quote them with me. But let's say them together today, okay? Beginning with verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm so grateful that Brother Ratliff went over those verses with me and had me to memorize those verses. But because of that, I've never had any real doubt about salvation. I've never had any question about how it happened and so forth. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God our salvation is rooted in Christ Jesus. It is all about him. In the verses that we have read this morning, we find a detailed account of what we were before regeneration or salvation and what we are after salvation. We learn that our salvation is all about Christ and what he has done for us. In this passage, we learn about some bad news and some good news. I heard about an artist that was at an art shop one day, and the manager of the art store said to him, I've got some good news and bad news for you. And the artist said, okay, what's the good news? He said, the good news is there was a man that came in the shop today, and he asked me, after this artist deceases, will his paintings be worth more money? And he said, oh, yes, after artist deceases, they will be worth a lot more money. And he said, he bought every one of your pictures. And he said, okay, what's the bad news? He said, the bad news is he's your doctor. So in this particular passage, we find some bad news, okay? But we're going to look at the bad news first, okay? And then we'll think about the good news. Number one, think about our pre-salvation position. Our pre-salvation position. Look at it. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Could I submit to you this morning, there's no good news in that, amen? I mean, everything about that passage that I have read is bad news. That was our pre-salvation position. By the way, it was not a few of us, but this was the pre-salvation experience and position of everyone. And if you've never been saved by the grace of God, if you have never accepted God's grace, then this is your position this morning. So look at some words. You hath he quickened who were dead. Before we trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we were dead. And by the way, dead is not a comparative word. It does not matter whether a person has been dead for 1 minute or whether they've been dead for 100 years. They're dead. Amen. It's not dead, deader, and deadest. Okay? You look at the resurrection, the ones that Christ raised from the dead. Some of them have been dead only a few minutes. Some of them have been dead a few hours. Some of them have been dead 4 days. Didn't make any difference. They're dead. So we were dead in our trespasses and in our sin. Colossians 1:21 puts it this way. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Before we trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we had physical life, but we had no inclination to God whatsoever. We were dead in trespasses and in sin. Notice another word. Not only were we dead, but we were dominated. Look at verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. In other words, before we trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we just simply did what the world told us to do. And would you not agree that what the world is telling us to do is completely contrary to what the Word of God tells us to do? Yet we were dominated by the power of this world. That's the reason in 1 John we find these words, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. In other words, this old world is completely contrary to God and God's world. And yet that's where all of us were at one time. We did the things that the world told us to do. We acted like the world. We walked like the world. We thought like the world. We walked according to the course of this world. Not only were we dominated by the course of the world, but the Bible tells us we were dominated by the prince of the power of the air. And guess who that is? That's Satan, okay? How many of you remember Flip Wilson? He used to say, the devil made me do it, and we all laughed. But in reality, that's exactly what we were doing. Before we trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we were not listening to God. We were not listening to God's word. And in reality, we were doing exactly what Satan told us to do. So we were dominated by the course of this world, the way the world was going. We were dominated by Satan and his demons. Years ago, William Ernest Hensley wrote the poem Invictus. As a junior high student, I had to memorize this poem. And it was supposed to be real good. In fact, the teacher thought, this is a wonderful thing. But listen to it. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstances, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the boulderings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the honor of the shade. And yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. See what he's saying? I'm not fearful of anything. And then he capped it all off by saying this. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Now, obviously, William Hensley didn't know himself. And he did not know the Word of God. We're not the master of our fate, and we're not the captain of our soul. Every one of us are subject to the domination, to the control of something else. Before we were saved, we were dominated by the power of the spirit of the demons and by the course of this world. Not only were we dead and dominated, but we were disobedient. When you had your conversation, even as others, the children of disobedience. In other words, God said one thing, we did something else. Titus 3:3 says this, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Disobedient to the Bible, God's word. We were dead, we were dominated, we were disobedient, and we were depraved. Now, people hate that word today. And yet, it does not mean that we are as bad as we could possibly be, but it does mean that our senses are all bent toward evil and not toward God. We were depraved. And then the Bible teaches us we were doomed. We were the children of wrath. Not good news, amen? The pre-regeneration position of every one of us was that. And by the way, sometimes we look at the world and we say, now how in the world could anybody do something like that? And the fact is, just the way we could have done that. But by the grace of God, amen. That is our pre-conversion position. Now the good news. Let's look at our post-salvation position. Where do we stand now? Look at verse 4. And don't you like good conjunctions? But, therefore, on and so forth. Here we were dead in our trespasses and in sin. We were dominated by Satan and the way of this world. We were disobedient. We were depraved. We were doomed, headed for hell. And then we find this conjunction. But God. And by the way, you find that time after time after time in the Bible. But God. Look at it. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful position we have. Amen. We were dead, unresponsive, and becoming more and more corrupt. By the way, the longer a body is dead, the more corrupt it becomes. I was reading a story about John Patton the other day. Some people tried to discourage him from going to the South Pacific Islands, and they said to him, John, if you go to the islands, they're uncivilized, they're cannibals, they will eat your body. John Patton thought for a few minutes and he said, well, if I go there and the cannibals eat my body, if I die in England and they bury me, the maggots will eat my body. What difference does it make who eats my body? Amen. The main thing is, I'm going to go and be and do what God wants me to do. And the longer a person is dead, the more corrupt they become. By the way, I've had people say to me, oh, well, I'm not ready to become a Christian now. I'm trying to get better and so forth. My dear friend, you're not getting any better. The longer you exist in this pre-conversion position, the worse you're getting. It's like a dead body. The longer it's dead, the more corrupt it becomes. So we were unresponsive and corrupted. But God quickened us. Quickened us, made us alive. Imagine a dead man when the Lord spoke to Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth." Immediately, Lazarus came forth. In the very moment we trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we were quickened by the Holy Spirit of God. We were made alive. Our best efforts resulted in failure, but God rescued us. We were controlled by the world around us and by our own lustful desires and drives. But God transformed us. We deserved judgment and hell. But God redeemed us. But God. Our post-conversion position is now we are in Christ Jesus, rooted in Him. Amen. We are in Him. We are in Him. What a wonderful position. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The wonderful position that we now occupy is that we are in Christ Jesus. And as a result, we have access to everything that He has. Not only are we in Christ Jesus, but we have a great inheritance. We have a great future. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen to this. What God has for us. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What a wonderful inheritance we have. A lot of people fight over their inheritance. When my parents and Virginia's parents died, all we had to fight over was who's going to pay the bills that were left, okay? So, humanly speaking, we did not receive any inheritance from our parents. But thank God we as born-again children of God, we have a wonderful inheritance. And it says here it is undefiled and it fadeth not away. In other words, it's as sure as it can possibly be. And look at verse 6 again. And hath made us and has raised us up together and made us set together. Look at the word set. When they think about setting down, you think about resting. You've been working, you've been running, you've been doing whatever you have. And then when you set down, then there is a place of rest. And is it not a wonderful thing that we can rest in Jesus Christ? Having no idea what may happen from day to day, and yet realizing that regardless of what happened, we are safe in Him. What a wonderful rest that is. Then not only are we in Christ and do we have an inheritance and that we have a rest, but we are sealed by Him. I mean, we're as safe as we can possibly be. Verse 7. That in ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Just think about that. In the ages to come, Christ will display us as trophies of His grace. What a wonderful future the Lord has for us as born-again children of God. Now let's think about our path from death to life. How do you get there? You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. How do you get from being dead to alive in Christ Jesus? Romans 6, verses 6 through 8, and we use this so many times in our soul winning efforts. But Paul says here, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. By the way, every time I read that verse, I just stop and thank God for that little prefix, U-N, ungodly. Because if he had have said, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the godly, we'd have been in bad shape. Amen? But the Bible says he died for the ungodly. How do we get from being dead in trespasses and in sin to being alive in Christ Jesus? Paul goes on to say, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet preadventure for a good man, some would even die, dare to die. But God, and there's that conjunction again, okay? But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How do we get from death to life? Notice some words. Number one, the word grace. Could not. I never cease to be amazed at the leadership of God. The people that planned the music program had no idea what I was preaching on this morning, probably. And yet, did you notice time after time the song is about the grace of God? We have a wonderful Holy Spirit that leads us. Amen. The word grace. For by grace are you saved. Grace is God's unmerited love. We did not deserve it. Someone has put it like this. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What a wonderful word the word grace is. One of the most beautiful words in the Greek vocabulary is the word grace, charis. And what a wonderful word it is in our language, grace. We're saved by grace. We are kept by grace. We walk by grace. We work by grace. And when it comes time to die, God will give us dying grace. One lady said to me years ago, Brother Sisk, I just do not feel like I have dying grace. And I said to her, are you dying? And she said, no, not as I know of. And I said, good, you don't need dying grace. To be honest with you, I'm glad this morning I don't have dying grace. Amen. But when it comes time to die, God will give us dying grace. Grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. So there's the word grace. Then the word mercy. Look again at verse 6. But God, who is rich in mercy. In other words, he is overflowing in his mercy. And by the way, it does not matter who you are this morning. It does not matter what you might have done. It does not matter where you are. You're not beyond God's mercy. And if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I trust this morning you will realize God is a wonderful God of mercy. The God of all mercy. Grace is God giving to us what we do not deserve. Mercy is God keeping from us what we do deserve. Aren't you glad you don't get what you deserve? Then you have the word faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And faith is the channel through which mercy and grace comes to us. For by grace are you saved through faith. Grace, it is all of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is the channel that brings God's grace to me. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the writer of Hebrews says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all you can do is just trust what Christ has already done for you. Your good works cannot contribute to your salvation. You're saved by grace. But the only way you can receive that grace is through your simple faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Then notice the word gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that is a gift of God. A gift of God. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. But the gift of God is eternal life. This is God's grace. This is God's mercy. This is what God wants to give to us. And salvation is a gift. The reason that it's all of grace and it's a gift is so that not anybody could boast. None of us have anything to boast about. We're saved by grace. Then notice the word salvation. For by grace are you saved. And saved is a good word. Amen. For by grace are you saved. Salvation. Wonderful salvation. What does it mean? Number one, I have been saved from the power of sin. I was dead. I was dominated. I was depraved. I was disobedient. But I have been saved from that position. In other words, I am under new management. Sometimes you go to a store and one person is sold out, somebody else has bought it, and there's a sign there, under new management. And thank God every born again child of God ought to write something on his chest, I'm under new management. Amen. I used to be managed by the devil and the world, but now I am managed by God. So we've been saved from the power of sin. And thank God we have been saved from the punishment of sin. The wages of sin, death. The gift of God, eternal life. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. Then the glorious fact is that one day, we who have been saved by the grace of God are going to be saved from the very presence of sin. We're going to a place where there'll be no sin. In 1 John, we find these words. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children or the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be, listen, like him. Sinless. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The great truth revealed in this passage is that we were all dead. However, Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world, that whoever would trust him as Lord and Savior would be saved by his grace. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The simplicity of God's wonderful grace. He came into his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born again by the Spirit of God. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, that very moment we are saved. The world's population reached the 7 billion figure a few days ago. All of the 7 billion people on the face of the earth could be classified in two columns: dead and alive. Lost and saved. Natural, regenerated. Where do you fit? Have you been saved by God's grace? I beseech you, brethren, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. You've heard about the grace of God. Have you experienced the grace of God?
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.